C6, number 19A.
We go on to life, and here we take the idea of life versus illusion, which is mortality. And so we consider here the question of the mortality of mortal man and the immortality of the divine man. In this way we take immortality, it is the immortality of man and the mortality of mortal man. Now, where would we start when the question is presented? We would start there, where we start with mind, where mind would always tell us, look here, man is idea, it's the idea of mind, that's the idea of mind, that man is eternal. But if you don't go out from mind, then you can see that you have a mortal. If you go out from mortal mind, you have a mortal. Therefore, the proposition is that man is the idea of life, and that the mortal is not this idea. Then we have stated the immortality of man and the mortality of man. So we could perhaps write down very clearly, man is the idea of life, and then you know that we have to state the counterfeit, and therefore we would say mortals are not this idea. All right, this is a very clear starting point where we see that man is immortal because he is the idea of life, and this idea of life as man is certainly not a counterfeit of it, a mortal. All right. Then we would go further to spirit again, to the sense of what is real, what is unreal, and would certainly find that the spiritual man must be real because he is eternal, that only the idea of life which we have stated in mind as man is the reality of man, whereas naturally the belief that life is in matter is unreal. So, shall we write down? The spiritual man is immortal and real, whereas mortal man or life in matter dies. Yes? So we have the reality of the immortal man and the unreality of mortal man. The reality of spiritual man is immortal. The mortal man, because he is not real, dies and disappears. Now comes the next point of soul, which always says, now how do we gain that immortality? How do we gain the real, the immortality? And naturally here we would see that we gain that immortality not through dying, but really through reform. That only by reforming, by spiritual understanding, by spiritual sense, and all that, we are identifying ourselves as the immortal man. So that immortality actually is here gained through the spiritual sense of life, and therefore not through death. How shall we put it? Perhaps we can put it this way, that immortality is gained through spiritual sense, is gained through spiritual sense, not through death. You see, as a tone of a soul, it's the resurrecting sense. It's how to be superior over the mortal sense. Where I can only be superior over the mortal sense of man, really, by spiritual sense. And not through the dying we can gain immortality. It is a resurrected sense, a resurrection of consciousness that is necessary. But then we come to principle, and we see this immortality has a principle behind itself, therefore that immortality must be demonstrated. We cannot just gain immortality by God's pardon or by any by the works of the law, as Paul would have said it, but really by demonstrating the immortality. So, in principle, immortality has a principle. Therefore, immortality, I would write it down, immortality must be demonstrated through principle. Must be demonstrated through principle and not gained by pardon. By pardon, to be pardoned into life, into eternity. Not by a theological concept. If we do that and demonstrate that immortality, and that is not the question of a moment. We die daily, therefore we have to demonstrate immortality daily, constantly, persistently, and in this way, we really gain progression. And we are led into life. Therefore, we can see here that progression leads into life. I will put it down like this. Progression leads into life. What means progression? You see, progression means the constant demonstration of principle. That principle must be constantly demonstrated, and that brings progression. And only in this way, by demonstrating principle constantly, we are really lifted into that principle, exalted into that principle, and what we experience is the progression of life. That things happen, and they happen according to demonstration. But when we see that it is a constant demonstration, then we also see what truth is asking us, namely that we destroy mortality every hour, hourly, constantly. And so it gives us a sense that error must be destroyed constantly, hourly. Perhaps we write that down. Error must be destroyed hourly. Can you see what it means? Perhaps one should talk around it and see that that mortal man is freed hourly and constantly must be freed hourly from mortal error. That is not just a judgment day, a day, a moment, a happening, and then the whole thing is over, but that the divine, the immortal consciousness must hourly demonstrate its superiority over the mortal, and therefore constantly and hourly and continually overcome error. And when we do that, then finally we come to love, where we see that true being, immortal being, perhaps we write it that way, that immortal being is attained. Here we have, perhaps you add, the end of mortality. The end of mortality. So we know from the textbook that when the last mortal fault is destroyed, then that is the hour, the triumph, when we see that really then divine science encompasses all true being, and the sense of mortality is overcome. So again we can see that the end of it, that is the end of mortality, we started out with the proposition, how do we deal with mortality? That was the proposition. How can we deal with it? And she says that in the following rhythm, and I just go quickly through it without really taking the same words, but just to get the rhythm of it, where we begin to see how would we tackle the sense of mortality, that man is mortal. We would see, oh, the proposition is that which comes from mind or life is an idea, and that idea is immortal man. Therefore, a man cannot be a mortal. Or the mortal is not man. And we have stated the proposition. Immortal man has idea, mortal man is not the idea. Then we go to the next one, to spirit, and we begin to realize that only the idea man, which is eternal, immortal, is actually spiritual, real, and therefore eternal, whereas every belief of life in matter, in mortality, cannot be real. That's not the reality of life. Therefore, what enables us to lift us out of the sense of living in matter? What is it that lifts us out, that soul that says, therefore, it is only through spiritual sense that you find your immortality? It's not through some act. It's not through death that we find immortality. It's through that resurrected spiritual sense that we find immortality, because spiritual sense is always contemplating only the immortal. Spiritual sense cannot contemplate the mortal. It's impossible. If we see that, then we can see that this immortality has a divine principle behind itself, which says you have to demonstrate your immortality. And therefore you gain your immortality only through the principle of immortality. You don't gain it by God's pardon. You don't gain it by believing in Christ Jesus. You don't gain it by the works of the law. You gain it only by demonstrating immortality. immortality is gained through demonstration of that immortality. And as we demonstrate that, we get life, truth and love. We get life as the infinite progression of life, where there is no more sense of death. So through that progression of life, through that demonstration of the immortality, we are ushered in into the infinite progression of life. And as we, in truth, overcome hourly every mortal error, and always every new mortal error, with truth, we experience love, we experience the attainment of eternal life, wherein mortality is wiped away, where mortality has come to an end. Yes. Can you see, it's always the same rhythm. So there is a law behind the index J. I may say that again this afternoon, because I like to see that we just don't go through these seven in a random way. Just what shall I say now as the subtone of life, as the subtone of truth, as the subtone of love? What shall I say now? But that it has the tone of the saving process that goes, that runs through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. All right, let's take another one. Let's take truth. Truth, we have seen here in truth that we take up the question of divine consciousness versus mortal consciousness. In other words, we could also say we take up here actually the question of idea man versus mortal man, because mortal consciousness is mortal man. So we'll find here quite a good way of how to see how the true idea of man is overcoming or is dispelling the wrong concept of the mortal man. How would we tackle the sense of man and the mortal man as a state of divine consciousness versus mortal consciousness? We will start there where consciousness starts, namely in mind again. We will see mind is the origin of man, and would therefore also see that mortal mind is the origin of mortal man. And so we would have stated the basis from which to go out. We have stated the idea, and we have stated the counterfeit. We state the idea, namely, and perhaps you're right, that mind is the origin of man. Mind is the origin of man, comma, and now we state the counterfeit, mortal mind is the origin of mortals. Now, when we have stated that, we have made two statements, but we have not given yet a value of their reality yet. So, in spirit, truth of spirit, we will have to state now what is real, what is reality, and what is not reality. And so we would certainly find that that man which is idea, that spiritual man, is reality, or we could say that man's reality is spirit. Let's put it that way. Man's reality is spirit. And now he would have to state the opposite, the unreality, would have to state that man is not the mingling of spirit and matter. Yes? So we have here the reality and see, oh yes, man's reality is only spirit. Therefore, the moment I have a concept of man as mingling spirit and matter, I don't have the real concept of man. Wouldn't you say that's very logical? But therefore, the moment I look at man as a compound of spirit and matter, I would say, this is not the real man. The real man is only absolutely spiritual because he is in mind, the idea of mind. If I have stated that, then I would have to say now, how do I gain for myself really the true sense of man, the real sense of man? I have only now stated the substantiality or the reality and unreality of the two concepts of man. But how do I get that? How do I gain control over the false sense of man? And we would say, see here, you can only do that through soul, because soul says, through spiritual sense, you really gain superiority over the corporeal sense of man, over the body sense of man. We only gain the immortal sense of man through spiritual sense. Again, through that resurrected sense of soul. Can you see, it's always the same thing at the point of three, that we lose and that we lose the false sense and take up the resurrected sense. So perhaps we can say here, by losing the material sense of man, and gaining the spiritual sense, we find immortal men. We find immortal men. In principle, we would say, but does that really testify to our human concept? Or does this very statement only verify principle's own concept of man? And we would say, yes, this, what we have stated here in soul, is really principle's concept of man and not man's concept of man. And I come to principle sense, where I begin to see that this true man, or the consciousness of the true man, the consciousness of the true man, comes from principle and not from human beliefs. Therefore, when I feel really that it's through spiritual sense I have gained the immortal sense of man, which is actually principle's sense of man and not the human concept of man, that I lose, so to say, the human concept, the human consciousness of man. And if I lose the human consciousness of man, I'm much more like what Mrs. Eddy would call divine thoughts, and no more a man. She would call it angels. And therefore, we get here a very big sense of exalted thought. That mortal consciousness in this way is exalted and takes form as exalted thoughts. So perhaps in truth, we write, truth is life, we write exalted thoughts. Exalted thoughts. And when we exalt thought to the above the human sense of things, we really come to the destruction of material consciousness. And so in truth we find that true consciousness, you can write, true consciousness dissolves erroneous consciousness. True consciousness dissolves material consciousness, so that actually in love we can say that immortal man exists forever in perfection.